Do you prefer it more when the Cubs are good and they are a rival with the Cardinals, or when they suck? What do you like better? Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, noted Cardinal fan, product of St. Louis and the Lindenwood University, joins us here on 101 ESPN on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning. This is easy, man. Rivalry's better. I don't know how you answer the other way.
Hold on. You broke up a little bit. What's the answer there?
All right. When the Cubs are good, it is a better rivalry. I don't know how we all have to agree on this. It's more entertaining, is it not?
Well, I love the angst of Cub fans, Greg, and that's part of what makes the rivalry is the fans. And I love the fact that everything changed when they won, right? Everything did. But before they had won, when they would get close, when you had the Bartman game, when you had Brant Brown dropping the ball, when you had the curse of the Billy Goat, it was so much fun to watch them.
It's so much fun to watch people in agony, is what you're saying.
That's
exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
But they're the lovable losers. I think they care about it in the moment, and then they're back partying in the bleachers with their shirts off. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's surface-level baseball to Cub fans, whereas Cardinal fans, we go home and we don't talk to our spouse, and we tell the kids to take the trash out, and we're grumpy for a week. It's deep-rooted in us. For them, it's surface level. It's move on to the next minute. We're messed up for a week.
You're so right about that, Greg, because it's Friday, and there's so many people in St. Louis who are still stressed out over Jack Flaherty's most recent outing. Where are you when it comes to concern in regards to Jack Flaherty?
I'm concerned anytime your ace isn't 100% healthy, you have to be. I still don't think this is a team that needs to give up young talent to acquire a Frankie Montas type, who looked great, by the way, yesterday. He did. Went 100 miles an hour flirting with a no-hitter. It'll really depend on the way they evaluate him in the next 2 weeks. I think Jack Flaherty is a must for the Cardinals to go as far as they want to go. I don't think they can win the World Series without Jack Flaherty. I think it's too early to panic right now, but look, this is the time of year where cautious approaches to guys like this is the way to go. And just backing off, we saw, I mean, I know he's not a pitcher, but Ty France is going to miss some time with a really difficult tag play at first base. He's so important to the Mariners, who aren't even in the mix. They're going to be very cautious with him. He doesn't think it's serious. Manny Machado, ankle injury. They're not rushing him back. This is the time of year where your key player, let him heal, man. Let him heal. Make sure they're 100% come All-Star break, reassess, and that's what they'll do. I just don't think it's time to hit the buy now button that a lot of teams are considering pushing.
I want to ask you about a buy later. I want to ask you about a buy deadline guy that would allow the Cardinals to move Pallante back into the pen and would just be a fit in this culture. His name is Madison Bumgarner.
That's a really good one. I've thrown this out there many times, and I still believe it's going to happen. I think Madison Bumgarner goes back to the San Francisco Giants.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they need a starter. Look at the guys that are taking up innings right now. I mean, Alex Wood's getting an ERA over 5. Jacob Junis is getting starts, and he isn't getting many people out. They've got a top 3 in that starting rotation. They clearly need some depth. I think Madison Bumgarner going back. We know Giants fans love the guys that were part of those 3 World Series championships. Brandon Crawford got a 2-year deal in his mid-30s, play shortstop. They cried when Buster Posey hung it up. I've been saying Mad Bum to the Giants again would make more sense. No one wanted to see him go. But Cardinal fans would love Mad Bum. I mean, they would. He's a super intense guy. He's kind of a grumpier version of John Lackey. And he's still effective. I don't know if he provides the swing and miss that you're not replacing Jack Flaherty with anyone who'd be available. But you would want a guy that can get strikeouts, even in a starting pitching, option. So if you're going to go that way, I still think a Castillo from the Reds, Frankie Montas, you need guys who got swing and miss. The other guy from the Reds I love, and his ERA is high, but he's got better stuff than Castillo, in my opinion, is Tyler Mahle,
mm-hmm.
who's his teammate. I think he's got a big arm. He's only pitched for the Cincinnati Reds. There are swing and miss options, which I really tend to lean on. No one is trying to get Zach Greinke and his 4.3K per nine. That doesn't help you in the month of September. So I like the idea. I really do. But I just don't know if he's the fit for the Cardinals.
Well, Greg, we can't talk about baseball and not talk about the New York Yankees. Wow. I mean, Aaron Judge walks it off last night versus the Astros. They're 52-18. Is this the best Yankees team you've ever seen?
Right now, yeah, it is. Last 80 years for a team to be 52-18, you have to go back to the 01 Mariners. I mean, that's a pretty special team, right? Won all those games. Now, I've never in my life, you know, grabbed a cup of coffee in the morning and was bummed because I can't watch an arbitration hearing. I really wish I could watch the Yankees put together a case on why Aaron Judge doesn't deserve any money. It's so unbelievable to me how they just put napalm all over this relationship. There's no way is Aaron Judge coming back, and he's continuously making this difficult for Brian Cashman and ownership to let him leave. For him to walk off last night, he's on pace for 63 homers, over 120 RBIs. I put a list together last night after the Yankee game, which we aired on our network, that this is the best walk year performance on pace to be the best walk year performance that I've ever seen. I throw the A-Rod steroid walk years out and Barry Bonds in 92 because Bonds just defines me, all steroids. But, you know, you got to go back to Carlos Beltran when he got into the postseason with the Astros after he was traded from the Royals, how great that was. And then you can shoot up my list, you know, Jim Thome at 52 home runs. In the early 2000s, in a walk year to land him a big contract with the Philadelphia Phillies. Zach Greinke had a 1.66 ERA and went 19-3, did not win the NL Cy Young with the Dodgers. Jake Arrieta did instead, and he was number two. The best one I had seen in my time loving baseball was Adrian Beltre with the Dodgers when he had almost 340 with a 390 on base. It's still not coming close to what we're witnessing with Aaron Judge. He's playing center field at 6'7". He's playing every day, and they've got a record right now. May I remind you, this 52-18 season started with a 7-win-and-6-loss beginning. The first 2 weeks of the year, they were 7-6. Since then, they've been a really good SEC college baseball team. They beat up on everybody. So I think this is the best team in baseball. They're steamrolling to a date in October and early November for the World Series. And Aaron Judge bet on himself, and he's going to be laughing all the way to the bank.
Greg, the highest AAV for a position player is Mike Trout at about 35.7. Does Judge blow that out of the water? For example, if the Yankees would come to him this morning on the steps of the arbitrator's office and say, look, we'll give you $36 million a year for 8 years, $288 over eight. Does Judge take that, or does he think he can blow 35.7 out of the water?
No, he's not signing anything unless it starts with a three, and that's not AAV. He wants a collective lump sum contract over $300 million. He's been watching all these shortstops who are not Aaron Judge get 300-plus. There's a shortstop in Flushing, Queens right now that is a good player, but he's not a superstar anymore the way we used to view him that way. Francisco Lindor is worth over $300 million, and Aaron Judge is like, wait, I don't care how old I am. And he makes a good point because Aaron Judge, he's had some fluky injuries. It's not a Byron Buxton-esque kind of body. This guy is going to age well, folks. He is. He's that classic Yankee where Derek Jeter had the same waistline when he was 21 as when he was 39. Mariano Rivera the same way. This is a guy that power ages well. Not base running, not the outfield defense, the stuff that Jason Hayward was able to cash in on. This is a guy that's going to hit 50 homers five more times in his career. And he's going to do it with ease because he doesn't need to swing that hard because he's 6'7", he's built like RoboCop. This is easy power. Sign him. The fact that Brian Cashman had that press conference and just threw it all out there and said, hey, we gave him a record contract for a guy over the age of 30. He turned it down. We'll see where this goes. Aaron Judge doesn't want to say. And it ruined the relationship. An arbitration hearing when he's playing like this. He wants to tune in. He's going to give him a Zoom link. He's going to watch. It's going to aggravate him even more. I've been saying this for forever. And finally, ESPN on ESPN.com put him in two uniforms, Red Sox and Mets. If he doesn't sign with the New York Mets next year, it's because he took the second most lucrative offer. Steve Cohen the owner of the Mets wants to steal the modern-day Derek Jeter away from the Yankees. He's going to offer him more money than any other team, and it'll be a tough decision for Aaron Judge to make. Do I think he eventually goes out west? I do. I would probably, if I was a betting man, say the San Francisco Giants eventually land Aaron Judge. But, man, he's going to turn down a lot of money because the New York Mets will be the team that offers more than anyone else. His days with the Yankees are numbered. The Yankees could win the World Series. Aaron Judge could be the MVP. He will not be wearing pinstripes in 2023. Wow. Book it.
Wow, Greg. Well, last thing I wanted to ask you about is Shohei Ohtani. He continues to be an absolute marvel. He has 2 home runs and 8 RBI one day, and then the next day he turns around and has 13 strikeouts. It is just unbelievable to watch this guy play baseball.
I know. We used to have a serious man crush on Shohei Ohtani, but like everything, thanks to TikTok, if you haven't done anything incredible in like 8 minutes, we're moving on to the next thing. No joke. I got sick the other day in the studio, and this was probably 3 weeks ago. My stomach flipped. I got the 24-hour flu, and we're covered with video. It's just me and Dan Plesac. I look at Dan, and I go, keep talking, like with my hand, making that gesture. I get up. I take a trash can with me off the set. I go into the hallway, and I vomit. Wow. And then I thought to myself, yeah, this is true. Dan had to do the rest of the show. And then they brought in Tom Verducci, who was doing Apple TV, and they did it together for like the last hour. It was hilarious to watch Dan struggle. But anyway, my point is, I seriously contemplated while I was sitting on the set, man, this would really help the network. We would go viral. Maybe I should wait till I'm on camera to vomit on the set. And then I realized how dumb media has become. And sometimes, as I parlay this back into the Shohei Ohtani topic,
can't wait to see how it connects.
Yes. We are now numb to greatness. Because it's consistently great. We want the next flashy object because we're basically pouty children in an Applebee's restaurant. And now you just got to give me a different device with a different video that's going to make me shut up and be happy and quiet. What has happened to all of us? Shohei Ohtani is unbelievable. This is one of the greatest athletes of all of our lifetimes. But yet we have AL MVP conversations, and it's Judge, it's Jose Ramirez, and maybe it's Shane McClanahan, a starting pitcher for the Rays. What? This dude is always, by doing what he's doing, he will always be a finalist for AL MVP. He is the ace of one of the 30 teams in baseball, and he's one of the top 2 hitters on his team. If he keeps doing that, he's automatically a finalist for AL MVP. We've just lost our love for him because we need a new flashy moment. Like me vomiting on live television is a flashy moment. I'd have been all over the scene, man. I'd be on WFAN in New York, KNBR in San Francisco. The next day, I'd be booked up. Who knows, man? I mean, I'd be on the big shows. Nick Cannon's TV show, is that still on? He'd want me on because of me vomiting all over a set.
He definitely would, Greg. We do a segment called Take It or Leave It. It's actually coming up next segment. So I'm going to give you an early Take It or Leave It, Greg, before we let you go. Take It or Leave It, if Shohei Ohtani played on the East Coast, we'd be talking about him more.
Oh, yeah. Take that to the bank. And matter of fact, I think Shohei Ohtani eventually will, because Shohei Ohtani is going to go to a big market that has fans wide awake all over the country. And when he's playing for the Yankees, I've been saying this for a while. I believe the New York Yankees are letting Aaron Judge go because they've got their sights set on 2 players. 2. And they need to make sure there's room in the bank for both. And that's Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani. Those 2 players can't avoid playing for the New York Yankees. That, to me, is inevitable. Like Nolan Arenado eventually playing for the Cardinals. It's Shohei Ohtani, a Yankee, and Juan Soto, a Yankee. So, yes, we will eventually get a chance to see, barring injury, Shohei Ohtani with a megaphone every time he goes to the mound and a gigantic platform every time he steps up to the plate. Could you imagine Shohei in that short porch in right field at Yankee Stadium? Come on. People will forget. They'll forget Aaron Judge ever played for the Yankees. So, yeah, I think it's set in stone. Ohtani will be on the East Coast.
Hey, Greg, before we let you go, we don't urge you to do or listen to much. Our interview with Adam Wainwright on Wednesday was epic. So if you get a chance to go to 101ESPN.com or have the app, check out our interview with Adam Wainwright and the story he tells in the second segment. It's epic and unbelievable, and you learn so much about the guy. I know you love him already, but you'll love him even more after you hear that interview.
You have done a million interviews in your career. I have never heard you promote an interview you did a while back. This must be good. I mean, you've had some good ones. I remember sitting as a producer, sitting on the other side of the glass, an epic Randy Carricker interview. We go to break, and I'm like, I hit the button. I go, man, that was great. And you're like, yeah, it was good. And you move on to the next thing. It takes a lot for Randy Carricker to think an interview was great. Did Adam Wainwright didn't vomit on the air live. He didn't do anything like that. Okay, wow, I got to tune in. This is going to be good. I'll make sure I listen.
It's a great example. It's a great illustration as to why he is what he is right now.
And that's why everybody is going to court him when he hangs up. But yep. I got a theory. I don't think he's hanging it up. I think he knows he's one more year like this one away from Cooperstown. I really think he knows that. And I don't think this is his swan song, believe it or not.
I don't think it is either. I think that's why other teams, they honor Yachty and as a matter of fact, the All-Star game. Michelle was saying yesterday they should honor Yachty and Waino and Albert. I said, I'm not sure that Waino's leaving. I get honoring Albert and Waino at the All-Star game.
I agree. I think Adam Wainwright realizes, you know, legacy matters. This is a guy who truly loves the game. I see him coming back for another year. If he throws a low 3 ERA at the age of 41 on the card and his baseball reference has that, I'm sorry, all in one uniform, you're looking at a Hall of Fame pitcher. He is one full season after this one away from Cooperstown, and that stuff matters, folks. It does.
Greg, you're the best. Your son hit it well yesterday, we understand.
Yes, he did. He played really well. He kind of fizzled towards the end, so he didn't win the competition, but man, I was proud of him. First real PGA Junior event. And, I mean, he's so much better than his old man. It's not even funny. It's hilarious how good he is and how bad I am. If you saw my swing and you saw my son's, you'd be like, where did he get that from? And I just pointed at his mom. She's the athlete in the family.
If he ever fizzles down the stretch again, just say, welcome to Uncle Randy's world.
I mean, we're talking like triple bogeys on like two of the last four holes. I don't even know if Uncle Randy has fizzled like that. But when you're 12 and you really want a snack and your dad didn't pack you goldfish, you have a built-in excuse.
Have a great weekend, my man. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You guys are the best. Take care.
See ya. Greg Amsinger, MLB Network. He's fantastic.
I would love to see Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto play for the New York Yankees.
Can you imagine?
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.